Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, what's up? I'm Poppy Ajuda, and welcome to The Power in Us, a podcast where I use the songs of my debut album to propel into conversations around feminism, social change, mental health, empowerment, and so much more. So stay tuned for big chats with inspiring people.
Mother, sisters, girlfriend.
This song is called Mothers, Sisters, Girlfriends, and I'm chatting with Harriet Rose.
Harriet, thank you for joining me.
Poppy, it's my pleasure.
Really excited to have you on, especially for this song. The song that this episode is based around is called Mothers, Sisters, Girlfriends.
Yep.
It is a song about, I guess for me, my life in general, I think has been based around rejecting things that I felt have been put on me. And I guess the idea that society sees us in relation to our proximity to men a lot of the time as their mothers, their sisters, their daughters. And when there are conversations around domestic violence or abuse or whatever it is, it's often like, oh, but like, imagine if it was your mom or your sister or your daughter. And it's like, that really irritated me because it's like, I'm a human. Like, why can't you just like respect my value as a human before
That's
anything
so true.
Else?
I've never thought of that.
That was literally like
the impetus of the where you made it from.
Yeah, I mean, it's also a song just about like doing things your own way and that being fine and not having to, you know, like you don't always have to want children. Like I think I had a lot of conversations when I wrote this song with friends who didn't want to have kids and what they would experience when they would say that in spaces.
Like even I am scared to say, because I want kids, right? But I don't know if I want kids.
Because, I feel like that sometimes.
Because I was with somebody for 8 years and I was like, we're going to have, we'd spoken about it. We're going to have kids. We're going to get married. And obviously I was dating a woman. So it was not the, you know, it was a decision we had to make.
Yeah.
Quite, you know.
And then, to think about it.
Yeah. And we didn't stay together. But then when I'm not with her now, I'm like, but how do I know? I think this is an interesting point on that, right? I think unless you want to have a child alone, which I think is great as well, if you want to like, as in go through the process of, you know, having a sperm donor and choosing to have a child. For me, I might get to that point, but also I feel like I don't know if I want to have a child until I meet the person I want to have a child with.
This is, I think that's 100% it. I think like all things that are meant to be, you know when you know.
Yeah.
And I think we have this tendency to want to control things in life. We want to plan ahead. I'm the biggest planner and like overthinker and like literally my mind is 100 miles an hour at a time.
You know, same.
Sometimes I'm like, Poppy, really, like, stop.
But it's no, but it's a good thing as well, because it's like you're thinking and also you have been brought up in a society where you have been told you need to have a child by a certain age. Whereas I've had the example, like my couple of family members have had children. Like one of my family members had a child at 39 and then at 42. So for me, with the career that I my career, I need a bit more time. I don't want to have children
right
now.
I think most women need a bit more time.
Yeah.
Like there's sexism and the world is like mostly against us.
Yeah.
It takes a bit longer to get where you want to get to, especially if you're not a woman who like is prescribed to the norms of society, which, you know, neither of us do in a lot of ways. Physiologically, like the way you present all the time, the way that you talk, you're opinionated, you're like loud, so am I.
Yeah. And I think that's a really interesting thing for me at the moment because I'm single and...
Everybody, Harriet is single.
I'm single, ladies.
Just drop that in there.
I literally do that so constantly. It must be the most ick. I've given so many girls the ick by being
I'm going to make a compilation of all the times I've mentioned
I'm single. But it does mean that like recently I've been thinking about things like, you know, about because I used to get told at school when I dated boys, which I do still find men attractive, I just don't find them romantically attractive.
Mm.
Like, I don't want to be with a man. But it's just because I'm emotionally so attracted to women.
Yeah.
But I used to get told all the time, and I think this might be part of the reason why I'm not as attracted to men. Mm. You're too much. You're too loud. You're too this. You're too that. Men aren't going to like you because of this. 100%. But now I'm kind of thinking, like, maybe it's the same with women or non-binary people. Like, it's like maybe I'm too much for a lot of people.
Well, I think you'd be too much for the wrong person. Like, yeah. I've definitely been too much, too loud, too opinionated. Too, like, 100%. You're not with the right person.
No.
Because there'll be harmony and you can grow with someone.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, you're not, it's not that you should never receive criticism. Like, yeah, we should, but.
Oh, and I want to.
Yeah, but who you inherently are is who you are.
Yeah.
And that should be celebrated by whoever you're with.
Yeah.
But it's funny that you said that about the dynamic between attraction, because I feel like before I had any like meaningful relationships with women,
yeah,
I felt like that. I felt like
just sexually attracted to
women.
Yeah,
I felt like my emotional relationships could only be with men because I guess I had more experience and I understood the dynamic
which
of
makes sense.
How that could be.
And but the world has also told you you should be with a man because it's easier.
Mm.
You'll have babies easier. You get married easier. Your life will be easier.
Mm. And on the topic of the song, that is the constant conflict. It's like, okay, if I choose to do life a different way, then am I going to come up against all of this stuff, you know, all of this like backlash?
Yeah.
Not backlash, it's not a Celebrity Daily Mail article.
Please. No, but it's true. And it's like, also I still receive, and this is what's interesting, because I'm a privileged person. I'm white, I have a good job. I am lucky to do what I love. But I still receive homophobia. I still get shouted at in the street. I still get called the F word. I still get like, and it's like, so when people talk, and just a side note, like just when people talk to me and say like, I just don't understand why we have to make such a big deal about gay rights, such a big deal about pride. And I'm like, because if I'm privileged and I'm in a good position in like, and I'm aware of that, and yet I am still being targeted, what are the people that are in much less privileged positions who don't have the resources to be able to fight back in the same way that I do?
It's about creating awareness.
And it's like, that
just
scares
if you're, me. If you're in a safe place to talk about it, to shout about it, to you're constantly normalizing something that for someone watching it in a small town or a country where being gay isn't legal, you know, or even just there's restricted ways of womanhood or the idea like being non-binary isn't even a thing in that place and you can't even express who you are at all, then that might trigger a mindset change. I don't know. You
a freedom. And also the thing that I get the most, and this is what makes me so proud, because people, my best friends, and I love this joke, my best friends always make the joke of like one of my friends texted me the other day, he's like, I've got a table for us at the bar. And I've already told the waiter you're gay, so don't worry, you don't have to do it when you get here. Because he's like, because I do. It's like something I talk about all the time. And it's for that exact reason.
Yeah.
Because I get messages on Instagram from people's mums. And like, they're like, hey, like, thank you so much for talking on Kiss Breakfast about. And it's not like I go, hey guys, I'm a lesbian. I just go, my God, I really fancy Doja Cat.
You kind of do. She kind of.
Yeah, I do. But like on breakfast.
Who doesn't fancy Doja Cat?
Yeah. And on breakfast, the boys will be like, oh, Harriet really fancies Doja Cat. And it's so normal to two straight men talking about that with me.
But I think also like for you, I don't know about like for you personally, but for me, saying the act of saying it makes me feel whole. It makes me feel grounded. It's like I'm accepting myself in it, which is different to the time when I couldn't accept myself.
100%. I've gone the other way. And I was watching this TikTok actually the other day, which I was crying at with laughter because it was this girl and she was like, you know, a lot of gay people say, I just want people to not even blink when I say I'm gay, but I want people to praise me. I want people to tell me I'm amazing. I want people to clap when I walk in a room. And I was like, and it's obviously that's a joke and it's not how I feel.
You're like, that is me.
But I was like, but also I do want it to be celebrated. Mm. So I am going to say it and I am going to make you uncomfortable if it makes you uncomfortable.
And amongst your peers, you do celebrate it.
Yeah.
It's really normal for you and your friends to celebrate who you are, who you fancy, like what you're doing.
I fancy a lot of people.
You know, in this world.
And I like to celebrate that. Just going back to what you said earlier, I've never thought about what you said, but I say that sentence all the time. Imagine if it was your sister. When I'm explaining something to somebody.
Well, it's the easy way to help them see you as a human. because men can be so self-centered.
Yeah.
It's like, let me give you an example that is someone you care about.
Yeah.
Like,
what if it was me is what I say. What if it was me? Because usually a lot of the time I'm explaining this to someone close to me. And they're like, well, yeah, of course. Like, and it's like, but if that is your answer, if you wouldn't want it to happen to me, then why would you want it to happen to anybody else?
Mm.
And I think that's an overriding arc that I've never thought about. Never thought about that. But actually, I do say that a lot when I'm trying to explain something to somebody.
I feel like my whole existence is just wanting to not have pushback for being who I am, and that pushback being gender-based. Is that, like, often the friction that I experience is because I've cut my hair, or when I started growing my armpit hair, or like when my dad took me out of boxing because I was the only girl in the class. Like, I have so many memories of moments where, like, I wanted to do something and I was told that I shouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And that felt like it was only because I was a woman. And that never made sense to me.
And it's interestingly, as a child growing up, I had two older brothers who had very little interest in me. Love you guys, both of you. But they had very little interest in being my friend, if you know what I mean. Because I was kind of 6 years junior to my older brother, three years to my other brother. So a good portion of age. And I became a boy. Like, I became in every way a little boy.
As
I
in cut because my you hair wanted to fit in with them?
Because I wanted to, well, at the time I really thought, I really questioned whether I wanted to be a boy.
Mm.
And then I recognized as I got older that never went anywhere, and I never, that was the thoughts in my head, and they never went anywhere because that wasn't what the journey was for me. The journey was that I wanted to be treated the way that they were treated.
Yeah, exactly.
And I wanted to play the games that they played. I didn't want to play Barbies.
Didn't want to feel different.
No, I wanted to play detectives and G.I. Joe and also potion making, which is my favorite game.
That was same.
Favorite game.
One day we should do some adult potion making.
Oh my God, I would
love that. Is that not just called drinking?
Yeah, basically. Let's go to one of those wizarding potion making drinks places.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
I'm
everywhere.
I'm so down.
But yeah, so I really wanted to be a boy, cut my hair like a boy, I looked like a boy. And when I'd go into shops, and my mum found that quite difficult in the sense that she never, ever tried to stop me. She never even said to me, she used to sometimes say, like, would you wear a dress? But that was I never felt restricted. I never felt like she was trying to stop me from being a boy. But in a way, she, like, as
she
I got
she was kind old, of testing the boundaries or kind of...
Well, she kind of just was excited to have a girl.
Yeah.
She had two boys and she was excited to have a girl. And then as I got older, I became very feminine. And she was like, oh, it's nice because I can now... I have something in common with you.
Yeah.
I didn't have much in common with the masculine side because she wanted to, you know, put me in dress. Even though... As a woman, she's quite like
it's interesting
strong and masculine in because like she went to work every single day. She was like a big HR person at a massive, massive company. Both her and my dad worked. My dad was extremely, he was very masculine in the sense that he used to do everything with his hands. He was very physical. But as a man, you know, I know this sounds silly, but it, you know, this is 30 years ago. Sit with his legs crossed. Didn't have a problem if he were gay, straight, you know, like, you know, he said to me when I was 13, oh, by the way, I've spoken to your brothers as well. If you're gay, like, we don't mind, as he said that to each of us.
Which and is I was really like, amazing.
Well, I was like, I don't even know what gay is, but yeah, sure. And like,
I wish someone said that to me.
Yeah, but and so I was, and I, so in that sense, you could say my mum was more masculine than my dad.
But it's interesting that she saw her connection to you
as the
being,
dresses.
But as being based in hyper femininity, when you probably have actually more in common in who you are. You're such a hard worker, you're a career, like,
and
focused person.
Yeah.
You probably got that from her.
And she's like me as well, in the sense that she's very, she could be perceived as too much by people. Like, she's a lot, she's got a big personality, she's very loud and like...
I find it really interesting, people that find women too much, because I've never heard anyone say that about a man. Like, a man who's too much is charismatic, and that is really attractive. They're charismatic, they're assertive, they take up space in a room. Like, I feel like a man who's not, like, stereotypically, like, societally attractive can become very attractive if they are confident and they're, like, loud and, like, do you know what I mean?
Do you know what, and do you know what I've been thinking recently, right? Is a little bit what you said earlier about how the right person will be attracted to me. I don't give a shit now. I really don't, because I know I'm a good person. And as a human being, I'm kind, I'm caring. Yes, I can be annoying as fuck. Yes, I can be loud. Yes, I can be too much on a night out and some people don't like, some people don't vibe it. But I'm okay.
But you know your value.
But I'm okay with knowing that I'm a good person at heart, and I would never, ever hurt someone deliberately. I can take acknowledgement and I can take ownership for my bad behaviour and also for my accidental bad behaviour. And I think...
And be able to say sorry, apologise.
Oh my God. Taking accountability is one of my favourite things because you know why? It relieves so much stress and anxiety from you to go... Right, I can now see where I messed up here and how I could have done that better.
And it allows the other person to as well. It's that same word that we were trying to find earlier.
We're trying to think of a word, everyone at home, the word where you make someone feel relaxed, you... That's the word.
Yeah, it's that. Someone.
What is that word?
You vroom someone.
I bet there's someone at home going, oh my God, it's this.
Yeah, literally. So that word...
Tweet us, hashtag, no, I'm joking. but seriously, I hope someone at home is screaming that. I agree with you, and I just think...
Everyone is freed, because when you lose your ego, everyone is able to be actually real.
And I'm such a...
In
even
the
though I'm loud, and I'm brash, and I say things that shock people...
But, like, why shouldn't you be?
Yeah, true.
Like, why is it a thing that you even have to say that, as if, like, those are the negative points to your kindness and your compassion and, like... Hello, that's what makes me fun. You think I want to be a boring as fuck person?
That's so true.
Who's dry?
Well, it's taken me, I would say you start really cognitively being aware of your kind of personality at like, what, 13? So it's taken me a good 15, 16, 17 years.
But that's because...
To be okay with it.
People have told you all your life that you're not supposed to be that way.
And that's, I'm in the middle of getting diagnosed with ADHD and I'm almost 98,000% sure I have it. And it explains a lot of why my... brain, why I'm good at presenting, why I'm good at like interviewing people, because I can, my mind is going 20 times faster than anyone else's in the room.
And you have that energy.
Yeah, but it's taken me a long time to forgive myself for being that.
I feel like people who have ADHD are kind of the best people in creative industries.
Oh, without a doubt. That's what you need. And it's interesting, when they're not ADHD, they're a lot more business minded. So they're like creative people who are entrepreneurs as well. Because I'm certainly not.
To be honest, I went on a couple of dates where both people said, do you have ADHD? I was like, you can't say this to me.
No, but you know why? It's so interesting you say you can't say that to me. Why?
Because we just met. You can't diagnose me.
Oh, no,
something.
Not diagnose you. Sorry, I mean.
But yeah, I might do. I am being quite distracted by all the people around while we're on this date. But maybe you're just not that interesting.
Yeah, exactly. But also, my thing is, when I say that to someone, it's a compliment. So if I say, oh, have you ever thought you might have ADHD? As in, this isn't on a date. This will be, we're having a conversation. They go, I don't know why I'm feeling like this. And I say, well, it's funny because I have similar feelings and it's because I have ADHD. I'm not saying that you do, but. And it's the same with autism. Because maybe I've got autism, I have no idea, I haven't done the test yet because it's a long waiting list on the NHS. But the stigma, but knowing now that I think I have it, and that I know so much about it, and it's made all of my life easier, why I hyperfixate on things and people.
Well, it's
and,
just understanding yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when the stigma is taken away from any of these things, being dyslexic, dyspraxic, ADHD, like autism, when that stigma is taken away, you are allowing yourself to actually understand who you are and understand why you behave a certain way. And then when you're with someone and something doesn't align...
It makes it less painful.
Yeah, because you can work through it.
It genuinely does, because when I experience rejection in relationship, which I do because I am a hard and fast lover.
I love these like catchlines, these taglines.
Honestly. No, but when, I'm a hard and fast lover in the sense that I trust people very quickly and I fall very fast, which is something I'm working on. And now I'm much better at being like, I just cut people out of my life now.
I've become a lot more like that.
Well, I have a problem with, I listen to what people say, not what they do. So I will be with somebody, whether it's relationally or in a friendship, and I'll be like, but they said this to me. They said that they really like me and they want to go on a date, but they don't actually take me on a date. And I'm like, okay, cool. Well, that makes me feel sad. That makes me feel upset. So why the fuck am I sticking around? No offense to them.
100%.
Doesn't mean they're a bad person, but it means that they do not align with me. And I think that sits in this idea of being a woman. I don't know about you, but I feel constantly the need to people please all the time. Make sure everyone likes me. Make sure... And there, I've got mates, like one of my really good friends who's a presenter, she does presenting on KISS and I love her to pieces. And she doesn't give...
I love people like that.
And she teaches me though.
Yeah.
Because she will go, shout out to Nia, I love you. she will sit me down and say, why have you attached yourself to this person who has clearly shown you?
Well, it's probably some kind of childhood abandonment.
Well, yeah, it is abandonment issues for sure.
We all have that. Because I do the same thing where I get attached. And I also used to do the same thing of, I think it's also when you're an earnest person and you're honest, you would always say exactly what you feel, and maybe you know yourself well, so what you say is what you mean.
Always, I'm so honest.
A lot of people don't say what they mean.
No.
And a lot of people do just lie. That was a shock to me. I remember someone saying that to me, like, you know, people lie.
That's another, by the way, that's another symptom of having more towards ADHD vibes. Well, for me, I'm obsessed with fairness.
Mm.
Like things being fair and people being fair. Maybe we change the word ADHD and we say a creative mind person.
Mm.
Because that is what really it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just a different way of thinking. But that's something I really struggle with, is when I've literally, the amount of times, like, I've been told, someone has said to me, I love you, and then they've gone and dated somebody else 10 seconds later, and I'm like, what? But you said the words, I love you.
I've been there.
I cannot comprehend, because to me, 1 + 1 = 2.
Mm.
1 + 1 = 9. Why are you giving me 9? That makes no sense.
Because people say shit they don't mean. But I think you're right. I think that idea of cutting people off, and maybe it seems harsh, but it's that, I always say life is a set of choices.
Yeah.
The choices you make now determine what your future is.
Yeah.
Every choice you make every day. So if I'm choosing this, I'm choosing my future.
In a weird way, even like me getting this coffee is me making a choice that's going to impact my day, that's going to impact my
which
week.
Which might mean that you drink coffee for 10 years.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to drink coffee for 10 years, you should stop drinking coffee now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, same as smoking, same as drinking, same as anything that doesn't serve you.
It means choices feel very imminent, and that's important for me because I want to have purpose in life. But you always have the choice to take responsibility for how you want to feel.
Yes.
And someone else can make their choice for how they want to treat you, but you have to also accept it.
So when I went to therapy after I had my breakup of my long-term relationship, I took responsibility for every time that I didn't walk away. Because it was a really nice, like, I still love her as a friend, like, you know, we still care for each other. But I had to sit there, because it was so painful, I didn't understand why. I was like, I had to take ownership and go, well, I should have. Because, you know, not to overshare, but she walked away and I maybe should have walked away too. Whereas I was there going, what?
Yeah.
What? Whereas, you know, and now I've learned, and now
3 years
later, I'm fucking walking away. So if someone comes at me with half-assed energy, I'm like, honestly, God bless you.
You're just wasting time.
But like, I'm like best friends with one of my exes. And she said to me, I was texting her about this girl who was making me feel so sad. She just texted me back and she went, Harriet, there is 8.5 million people in London. And also, I reflected on the fact that I'm best friends with one of my exes who I hold in such high esteem. So if I'm best friends with one of my exes, I can't be that much of a shit person. Like, in the sense that, you know, when you're like, I really like her.
Yeah.
So.
But it's not about, it's never about you. Unless you're like really a crazy shit toxic person.
Yeah.
It's not usually about you. It's about the person and what they want, and maybe they're not ready, and people show you who they are. We just don't see it. People show you who they are.
I ignore red flags.
Yeah.
And my one of my best friends, Alice, she's an oracle of advice, and she will start to tell me the red flags. She will say, okay, and then she'll air them to me. She's like very knowledgeable about dating. She's dated, like, especially because she's dated a lot of men. Her experience is much worse than mine because of, you know, the dating pool of men. Not to talk about men negatively, but I think dating apps specifically, they use them for a different reason.
Apps,
And she always highlights them to me. And now I said to her, I was like, firstly, I've decided to be single for a while. I don't want to date anybody. I don't even want to go on a date now. But also recognize those red flags. And actually, when she tells me them, not go, if I'm making up excuses for someone 2 weeks in, dead it.
You need a friend like that.
Everybody
needs a friend like that who will actually, instead of, will be objective about like what's happening rather than emotional about what you feel. Because I think when you feel in love, or you're obsessed with the idea of something, or you're obsessed with the future of what it could be.
Oh my God, the idea of someone that doesn't even exist.
Yeah, you ignore, like, if you're an imaginative person, if you're a romantic person, you're gonna do that.
Yeah.
Naturally, and you need to know that that's your bias.
Yeah.
Which means that you won't see certain things, or you won't acknowledge them. You see them, but you don't acknowledge them.
Well, I'm a hopeless romantic, and as I said, something massive that I learned in therapy was, she was like, you don't listen to what people, how people make you feel, you only listen to the words that they tell you. So I literally will hear someone say, I do want you, but they will actively not come and see me, not make plans with me.
And then you feel anxiety or you feel...
But I then they text me and I go, oh, but they do see. And it's like, no, that's different. It's different ways of showing. And it's not their fault. That's the other thing, is it's not to go, you're an arsehole. It's like, no, it's... No.
But that's their choice. It's not a value judgment. I don't actually generally judge people. Like, that's your choice and you're on your journey. And maybe you're not in a space where you can commit to someone, or maybe you're not in a space where you understand yourself well enough to communicate how you feel.
And I've been there.
Yeah.
Because I remember being on a dating app and going back on my matches and going, what the hell? I've missed out on all these lovely girls because mentally I wasn't in the right place to date. So I was swinging around everywhere, not replying to people. I've probably made people feel rubbish, but I haven't responded.
I think also when you're in that situation where you're not feeling good or you're not feeling like you're getting what you want from a situation, like, I think another way to detach is, not to make this episode all about relationships, but...
We'll move on.
Is also to think about, put yourself in that person's shoes. And would you do that to someone?
Yeah.
And how would you feel doing that to someone? Because that's going to help you, 100%. I don't know, empathize with, like, actually, if someone, like, won't text you back, or, like, everybody has their phone in their hand all the time. I'm sorry. If you don't want to text someone, you don't want to text them. If you want to respond, you want
to
respond.
That's where the base level of if they wanted to, they would, does make sense. But what you have to detach from is it being your fault. So
yeah,
when
exactly.
they say if they wanted to, they would, that is true.
100%.
But it's down to their own trauma and their own personal situation. And I totally agree with the texting back thing. But again, it's about reflecting and going, but I don't think that's got anything to do with me, and that's not serving me. And recently, I had a girl that I was messaging and I realised I wasn't in the right place. I texted her and I said, I'm so sorry. And she texted me back and she went, wow, what an amazing thing to happen in this day and age. Not to like blow my own trumpet, but she was like, thanks for just being honest with me.
People always appreciate honesty.
Because she was like, honestly, it's vile out here on these dating apps.
Well, you have to be quite brave to be honest. And a lot of people don't have the guts.
Even me sometimes.
To say how they feel, to have an awkward conversation.
Yeah.
To, like, just get on with it, man.
Sorry, I've now used this as therapy because I'm single, in case I didn't mention it.
So talking about that concept of tradition and obligation, like that, I talk about that a lot in the song. Mm-hmm. Marriage, long-term relationships, do you feel that pressure of obligation and tradition? Did you find that at home in your family dynamic that like comes through now? Like you talked about having babies later in life. Mm-hmm. That's something that I thought about as well, in terms of one, my career will always come first. Everyone knows that about me.
Yeah.
But also you have to be in a mental position, an emotional position to bring up a child. And actually I saw a statistic that a lot of pregnancies now or a lot later in the kind of geriatric space.
Well, yeah,
which you wouldn't even call
now. I think
I'm
geriatric now.
What are you, 98?
33. I think I'm a geriatric pregnancy, yeah.
Wow.
Not that I'm pregnant. Honestly, that would be a Mary Jesus miracle. Growing up, my parents were extremely connected. Mm. My dad died when I was 17, but they were so in love, like snogging in front of me. It was very
That's
clear
so
to me
cute.
That they had a sex life. Never accidentally walked in on them or anything.
I love hearing stories like that because you really don't hear that very often.
No, in my year at school, I was the only one. I think there was another girl, my best friend, whose parents were still together, but not as snoggy as my parents. Mm. My parents were definitely the one where people would come over and be like,
this is
what
gross.
On earth? No, weirdly, because a lot of my mates' parents were divorced or their dads weren't around or their dads had passed away.
Yeah, like you want to see it modelled.
Yeah, and they'd see it and they'd be like, wow, you know, whatever. Mm. So I grew up with this like intense romantic depiction of romance. So when I realised I liked women, I cried for like 2 full weeks because I was like, wait, what?
Who didn't?
I'd also never been fully fulfilled with a man. I had this boyfriend who I was so in love with and I had a great sex life with, but after him, I never felt fulfilled with any other man.
Mm.
And I finally found fulfilment. And in honesty, this petition in my brain to want romance and long-term relationship has been to my detriment. It's not been a good thing because it's meant that because I'm so intensely desperate to recreate what my parents had, that love, that passion, that like energy that they had, that I've actively seeked out the wrong people and dated the wrong people, dated people who didn't want that.
It's so interesting that because in my head, it's like, because I have never seen like really healthy relationships, long-term relationships modeled from either of my parents, hearing that, I was like, oh wow, imagine if I had seen that modeled.
No.
Would that have...
But then also I had the twist of fate of my dad dying really, really young, like dying in the middle of their love. So not only like do you see traumatic. This model of love, but then you see the trauma of not only me, but my mum losing the love of her life. The man that she's been with since she was 17 or 18. Like the only, like her first boyfriend, everything. And so there was a weird twist of like...
Do you think that could make you self-sabotage?
Yeah. I think it made me go... You can have it, but it could fucking get taken away
so
any time.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm actually attached.
Do you find that your industry has accepted your queerness always? Like, I know you talked about how you kind of exude it on purpose because you want to normalize it and you want to, like, be proud of who you are and as you should be. Do you find that maybe when you had less of a presence or you were less grounded in your job, it was harder to be outward in that way?
Yeah, I hid it. One of my friends and I, both gay, and they're an actor and I'm a presenter, and we both actively didn't hide it in the sense that if someone asked me, I wouldn't be like, I don't have a girlfriend. But we were actually, funnily enough, talking about this really recently, and we were like, God, how beautiful is it that it's now a huge part of both of our careers that we are queer? Like, and but for a long period of time, I was terrified that it would stop me getting jobs. I was terrified that people would. And back when I was just out, it probably would have affected my career, or I would have been pigeonholed as a gay presenter.
The world has changed a lot, I would say.
And it's like, definitely. Now it's celebrated. People want me. You know, when I do shows, and I do, like I was doing the Brits Red Carpet the other day, and I had Joe Bags with his brother, and Joe said, oh, he's single. And I went, oh, I'm a lesbian. And they clipped it and put it out because it's so funny.
Yeah,
because,
yeah.
But then, think 10 years ago, that would never have been clipped out and put on TikTok when TikTok didn't exist.
But also, I feel like we don't accept ourselves. And obviously, there are dangers sometimes in accepting yourself, like realistic dangers in the world. But most of the time, when you are like so confidently yourself, people celebrate you because you allow them to be themselves.
Yes, and they're so
They're shocked.
Jinx.
Yeah.
They are so taken aback by my placidness about how I am. The moment I probably stepped into my queerness was the pandemic, when I stopped caring about what anybody thought. I started posting on Instagram the way I actually am, which is a bit insane and like being bonkers. And I remember saying to my friend, I put this video out and she went, Harriet, do you think that's funny? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, I think it's hilarious, even if it's just me and you that think it's funny. Then all the people that follow you that don't think it's funny unfollow you, bring in the followers that are going to find that funny. And I was like, the minute I started doing that is when my career started to take off, when I started to fully be myself. And I would talk about being gay. And I also would want straight people to be in the conversation as well. Like Perry on my show made a joke. We were doing a show together and I said, oh, I love pickles. And he went, no, you don't. And it's like, yeah, because he can make that joke because I talk about it all the time. And I want it to be normal and be like, you know. And I feel like it's the same for you because I know you're... journey with queerness was like a slow one in the sense that you were like, wow, I can't think about this, let alone talk about it.
I had so much internalized homophobia.
Yeah. Well, like, there isn't a single person that.
Yeah. And I think I still have some, you know,
same.
It's hard to accept yourself in a world that tells you to be the opposite way around. I think especially when you're extroverted, announcing something is how you accept who you are.
Yeah.
Maybe for someone else who has a different personality type, it wouldn't work. But for me, I have to make a music video about it. I have to make a song about it.
You have to snog a girl in a music video.
I have to snog a girl in the music video.
God, I wish I was a musician or an actress.
That makes me so stressed. I have to do it. You know, like me and the director, who she was gay and I wasn't out. And she was like, well, should we do that? And I was like, that scares the shit out of me. Let's do it. Because someone watching it hasn't got there yet. And I've allowed them to feel a little more free. And on that point, how do we create change in our everyday? Is it these big... projects of like social change? Is it small acts of defiance? What would you say?
I think, you know, on the note of grand gestures or small moments, everything encompasses together to create change. So, for example, there are incredible figureheads and leaders of movements and change like Munro Bergdorf. I also see you in that as a person that teaches and shows and creates these huge moments. But also, like, for example, for me, the way I am as a presenter is I'm bonkers, weird, a bit kooky, a bit silly. So the way I'm going to make change is by talking about being queer and gay and in scenarios where you wouldn't usually put it. So I'll talk to a rapper who's in an environment that's very heteronormative and very and make him have a fun time or her and enjoy that banter so that it becomes more normalized in the smallest way. So people watching it won't necessarily go, wow, she's really changed my mind. But they might just go, oh my God, it is quite funny that she did that.
I'm laughing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So it must be okay.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's how I make change, because my realistically, my followers aren't going to take in the political messaging that I still do put up on my Instagram, but they're not going to take that in as much as me being satirical and saying, hey, what about this? Hey, what about this? So 100%. For me, and then also the small acts of defiance, I think for everybody, is that moment of, hey, do you know what? You don't need to start a fight with that person who's racist, homophobic, transphobic. Mm. You can just get up and walk away.
Mm. It's either you walk away and protect your peace, or you have a safe and healthy conversation.
And I think what I mean by walk away is the smallest thing you can do, but it's still an act of defiance.
Yeah.
In that, my friend said to me, not to go back to dating, but she said to me the other day, because sometimes I want to over-explain myself, and she was like, silence is golden. Mm. Like, you not explaining yourself and you not giving that person...
You're wise friends.
Yeah, I know. Much more wise than me.
You're very wise friends. I love it.
Yeah. Because we all have that moment where you sometimes go home and you're like, I wish I'd said something, but I didn't. But then sometimes you can't.
Yeah. And as my mum said the other day, and she said her dad used to say it, there are many ways to skin a cat.
Yes.
And she was like, why would you even want to skin a cat?
Also, please don't skin a cat. No, no one's skin a cat.
But the point is that, as you said, I think everything compounds together. There are many different ways to create change.
Yeah.
And we do need structural governmental change. But that also comes from changing minds in your everyday, having conversations, making people laugh, normalizing conversations that you wish you could have always had.
And my mum taught me this thing. I was listening to a podcast about this girl was saying, I used to get so infuriated and be like, this is how it is and men are the worst and blah, 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 blah. And it just didn't get me anywhere.
Mm.
All it made me look like was a little angry girl who didn't know how to articulate herself. Whereas my mum said to me, you know, remove the anger out of it and your point will come across so much more purely and strongly and make such a bigger impact.
What I think is sometimes being emotional doesn't always help you get your point across.
Especially as a woman.
And I think that it's very gendered, because the fact that she couldn't assert herself in an aggressive way and not be listened to is because she's a woman.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily agree that she should have had to like articulate yourself differently. You have to sometimes...
And I didn't get that. I just used to scream and shout and be like, but you don't understand. Mm. And now...
But also everyone's human. Someone who doesn't understand you, they don't understand you because their life experiences have led them to that point where they're so detached from themselves, they're so cornered into a box of conditioning. If it's heteronormativity, if it's like toxic masculinity, they actually didn't choose to be there. They have kind of found themselves there and they're actually more lost than you are.
Yeah.
So shouting at them doesn't help when they've already...
It's just going to be triggering.
Yeah, they've already experienced all the trauma of being crushed into this box that makes them feel so sad about who they are.
Yeah.
You know, most people want to feel their emotions. They want to be able to cry. They want to be able to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, that is part of being human. And equally, when you're angry and you're passionate, you should be able to show that in a, you know, healthy way.
So that's why everyone who can and everyone who has access to it should go to therapy.
Yeah. So my final question, what's your unique power? I feel like, I know that I asked you the question, but on the point of the word that we can't find.
It's that word.
I feel like it's disarming people.
Disarming!
It's disarming people.
That's the word, disarming.
I was like, if I don't find this word.
Yes.
You disarm
people. Oh my God, Poppy, you've remembered the word.
I remembered the word. And by being funny. And so then someone can't be homophobic or they don't want to because you're being hilarious.
I really appreciate you saying that because I think that is also my superpower. I agree. I feel like I can pretty much disarm anybody because I've disarmed fairly difficult people to disarm. And someone said this to me the other day because I interviewed Paul Rudd and they were like, I said something berserk at the beginning of the interview, again doing the disarming thing, which is what I do, and he was like, you just don't care, do you, about how famous someone is? And I was like, no.
See, and he's probably so used to people being nervous and being
I just don't care.
And so it's refreshing.
But I don't care. Mm. Like, who? Well, why are you any different to me?
He's a person.
So, yeah, I really take that as a compliment and thank you. And, yeah, I think I agree, disarming people.
I think it's a really big superpower because you allow people to be themselves.
Yeah, and some
when they don't always feel like they can be in any space.
Which is so nice. My dream is to make people feel good about themselves. Mm.
That is revolutionary in itself. If everybody's dream was to make other people feel good about themselves, we would be a very happy world.
Yeah. Right? Everyone's just like,
we'd be loved up. Everyone would be snogging.
Yeah. Oh, like, my God, that would be my dream. I love snogging.
Thanks for tuning in to The Power in Us, a podcast based all around the topics of my debut album. If you love what you heard, please subscribe and tune in wherever you get your podcasts. Big love.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.